joining our show today.
Log Talk Radio.
Hello, and once again, thank you for joining our show today. I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life, with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father. By the age of 13, my stepfather and my biological father raped me up until the age of 18. Then I met my ex-husband at the age of 19, who was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for nearly 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
I'm good. I'm going to say, Stephanie, are you still with me? I'm sleepy, but I'm pushing through because, you know, after this, I have choir rehearsal. That's probably when I wake up. But other than that, I'm sleepy, but I'm good. What you got for what's going on today?
Well, we currently have several fundraisers that we want everybody that will support us. We have our Kroger Plus reward card. So if you currently have a Kroger Plus reward card, so if you'll go and get a Kroger Plus reward card and connect it to We Are Survivors by going to Kroger.com, registering your card, and then if you'll click or go and start typing in We Are, then We Are Survivors will come up, and you just put the little dot there and connect it to We Are Survivors. And then you just shop each month just like you normally do. You're not doing anything different. Just, you know, shop just like you normally do. And according to how much you spend each quarter, they will give a donation to We Are Survivors. Then the same thing with Tum Thumbs. You just connect your card to We Are Survivors. And according to how much you spend each month, they'll give us a donation. So if you need assistance with either of those, you'll contact me at 817-320-2571. Either call or text me. I'll be happy to assist you with getting connected. Then we also do the Compass Bank rewards. If you connect your account to We Are Survivors, meaning you connect your account, meaning when each time you use your card, they'll give us a donation. I mean, you're not doing anything different. So on none of these, you don't go, you're not giving us a donation. They'll, according to how much you spend, these companies are giving us a donation. So that Kroger's Plus Reward, Tom Thumbs, and Compass Bank. And then we also do the Purple City Project, which is a photographer. And that one, I always turn that one back over to Wanda because she's already taken her pictures, which is beautiful pictures. And so I'll turn over to her and let her explain that one. So back over to
Wanda.
Thank
you. Thank you. Yes, and it's called the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. And it can be personal or professional. The photographer's name is Charles, a.k.a. City. His contact information is 214-591-1370. Again, that's Charles, a.k.a. City, 214-591-1370. And a part of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to provide hotel rooms for men, women, and children. Because as you all know, I harp that there's only 188 emergency placement beds in Dallas County. And so because there's only 188 beds, we get so many phone calls trying to find placement for individuals, and a lot of times, until recently, we've had really no luck. We keep calling and a waiting list. So for us, the funds that we donate to the organization will help us be able to remove someone immediately from a very bad situation. There has been a new emergency placement shelter in Fort Worth that has opened. I think it's probably been open now for about 6 months. And thank goodness that you don't have to be a Tarrant County resident. You have to have a driver's license or an ID, but you have to be a Texas resident, not just a Tarrant County resident, because a lot of these shelters are based on what county you live in. So that's good to know that this new shelter is open to Texas residents. Now, I don't know about their availability now, but I know we've placed a couple of families there when they first opened up. Now, for this photo shoot, he has four different packages. I'm going to only mention two. The top one is the $55 package, which is valued at $100. It is a 20-minute session, up to four people, unlimited pictures. You get one outfit and two edits. And the two edits means you get to pick two pictures out of however many photos that he took. The second package that I'm going to go over is valued at $160. It is an $80 package, 45-minute session up to four people. You have unlimited shots, unlimited pictures, two looks, which means, ladies, you get to change clothes, and that's the one I did. And you get four edits, which means you get to pick your top four pictures for $80. So if you get four people, then that's $20 a piece. And imagine, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, too. I didn't realize, posing, trying to be cute and smiling and holding your head this way and balancing on some heels, that is not as easy as it looks. But it's for a great cause. Like I said, it's to be able to provide shelter for those that need it. Also, we have two other fundraising type, I guess, ordeals, if you want to call them. Some people just have to have something tangible. Some people they want to donate money. They like something in exchange back. Get it. So We Are Survivors also, one of our main goals is to not only help someone physically, but the mind, not just the body, but the soul. And we all know as women, we love to feel good. Sometimes we, want to lose a couple of pounds. We want our hair to grow out. Want our nails to be stronger. So We Are Survivors has become a distributor of a part. It's called It Works. And some people know it by the wrap, but they have a lot of different products. I take the ThermoFit and the Fat Fighters, and I also do the wrap, and I drink the greens. And I can tell you, it all works. They have a cleanse. It's a two-day cleanse. I lost 8 pounds on a two-day cleanse. So it works, really works. It's really cute. It works. But it does. It works. On top of that, we also have the Paparazzi Jewelry, which is better known for every piece of jewelry is $5. They have some very, very nice pieces. Very nice pieces. So all of these can be found, and they're located on our website, which is wearesurvivorsfoundation.org. And you click on the button for the jewelry, it says $5 paparazzi. You click on that, and it leads you to the website where you can shop. It has all the latest and the newest designs, because they come out with different stuff all the time, as well as the It Works. It says want to lose weight? Click on that button. It takes you right to the website for It Works, and you can order whatever you choose to. Like I said, there are so many different products for It Works. Those are some of the fundraisers that we have, like I said, for people who want something tangible. And you can set up however, you can go on and be a loyal customer. We do have, I think I mentioned it last week, our first loyal customer with It Works, and her purchase was the Fat Fighters. They really do work. So we're excited about her. I do also, again, want to thank God's Talent Ministries for their donation that they made last month to the organization. Just let people know that, you know, we say about these fundraisers, we ask and we talk about it all the time, but I also want to let people know that we are receiving donations and that we want to thank the people that are donating to the organization. And, of course, because of what our goals are, we you know, have a long ways to go, but we're going to, you know, keep talking about it, keep pressing the issue, keep asking, and God will fulfill our needs. We already know that. Now we're going to go into the events. February was a busy month. Can't believe it's already over. But I do want to acknowledge the fact that we went to the pin show at the Bomb Factory, my designer, Tina Peters. And it was a wonderful time, had a great time with that. Also had the, went to the Heart Benefits, the Heart, when was that, on the 11th of February. And it was a benefit to bring awareness to heart disease. It was beautiful. Dr. Bo, thank you for the invitation, and we had a wonderful time. Now we're moving into March. March is here. This year is flying by. It's February 23rd. And before you know it, next time we'll be on the air, it'll be March. So the events that we have planned for March, the first event that we as survivors will be participating in is the Heart and Healed. We went last year. It's another type of benefit luncheon that actually brings about awareness for heart disease and heart awareness. It was a beautiful event last year, so I'm looking forward to going again this year. That is March 4th, which is actually next Saturday, and it's at the Hilton Garden Inn in Duncanville on Main Street. That's from 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. because it's really nice and you would really enjoy it. And they also had excellent food last year. The second event, which is going to be March 18th, it's a sophisticated sip, and it is a Black Tie fundraiser to support survivors of domestic violence. It is also bringing more awareness to We Are Survivors. We want to thank Dr. Bradford for picking us up, supporting us, helping us get the word out. I thank her for that. That is March 18th, and of course, we'll give you more information as far as time. I know the doors open at 6, but we'll be able to give you the address. And, of course, with it being a black tie event, everybody knows what that means. It is, a fundraiser to benefit awareness, domestic violence for We Are Survivors. That is March 18th. We Are Survivors has also been asked to be on a panel March 25th, and I actually got this phone call from the police department from the city of Lancaster. I was really ecstatic that they thought about We Are Survivors, so We Are Survivors has been invited to be on a panel to, of course, address domestic violence, and that came from, like I said, the police department from the city of Lancaster, and it's called United in the Fight Conference, and it's at the Meadows Conference Center, which is 2900 Live Oak Street, Dallas, Texas, 75204. That's from 10 to 12. That is a free event. And again, it's 2900 Live Oak Street, Dallas, Texas. And it's the United in the Fight Conference at the Meadows Conference Center. And I do believe that's the library, I want to truly say. I have some wonderful news. And I'll wait till next week. I keep you all waiting and wondering. But We Are Survivors have been blessed with a wonderful opportunity. It's more exposure. It's going to expand us, reach more people, change more lives. We are truly ecstatic about it. So I'll let you all know more about it next week. We're going to keep that dangling out there so maybe you can think about it and wonder what could they possibly be doing now. I also want to talk about, let's see what's coming up. We have April. What's coming up? What events do we have in April? We have some, but well, nothing that's pressing. What I do want to talk about, though, is just one. It is the second annual Survivors Luncheon. This is put on by Annie's Gifts of Love. It is April 13th. And I'm sorry, it's not, you need to register by April 13th. It is actually in May. You need to register by April 13th. It is a free luncheon. We Are Survivors is being honored. The keynote speaker is Rebecca Lopez from Channel 8 News, for those who are here in the Dallas area that watch Channel 8 News. She is the keynote speaker. We Are Survivors has our own table, so we want to fill that table up with survivors. And like I said, once again, it's a free luncheon. If you want to go online to actually register, because like I said, you have to register, you can go to www.anniesgiftsoflove.org, and that's AnniesGiftsOflove.org. So that's www.anniesgiftsoflove.org. It was remarkable last year. It was moving, and you don't want to miss it. Like I said, it's the free Survivors Luncheon. That is May 13th from 11:30 to 1. And again, it's at Hilton Garden Inn on Main Street in Nuggetville. That's a popular place to have events. I will touch on July 22nd, 21st and 22nd is the Run Women's Conference, which is a conference that, once again, Dr. Bradford is putting on to acknowledge We Are Survivors. So that is a conference that you also want to be aware of. The dates is July 21st and the 22nd, and it's going to be in Hearst. We also want to acknowledge the 7,000 purse challenge. I need to keep bringing that up. We're collecting slightly used purses because we're going to put in essential items for survivors of domestic violence, and those purses will be distributed here in Dallas, as well as Europe and Africa. We will be shipping some of those overseas. So we're trying to collect 7,000 purses. In August, which is our International Women's Conference, for those that are working closely with us, I want to let Linnell Falk, she's done a phenomenal job on getting things in order for this massive undertaking. We Are Survivors and DK Sumi, which is our partner organization in Europe and in Logos, Africa, have teamed up to bring to Dallas the International Women's Conference. That conference is a two-day event. It's August 25th and August 26th at the Hall of State Building. We have some phenomenal entertainers. We have a young man from Juilliard that will be playing the violin. We have a monologue that's happening. We have a comedian that's coming all the way from Nigeria. There are going to be so much entertainment that we have a fashion show. Of course, we have a fashion show. Love fashion. So there's going to be a lot of different things going on. You do not want to miss that event. You can go on Facebook, under the We Are Survivors page, to find the link, or even Eventbrite, and type in 2017 International Women's Conference, and it'll pull it up as well. I think that's all I'm going to talk about for now, because I want to get to our speaker. I am really excited. I met this woman, I guess now it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks ago, and her story moved me. It moved me then. I thought about it. I've been talking about it since I met with her. And we talked so long, we didn't realize that we had been sitting in one place for 3 hours. And when I always say, God will bring you his children, he will lead you to the right people, and you'll know it's a right fit because of the ambiance and the aura and the connection that you will get from that individual. And Miss, it's hyphen, we say Miss Scott Dunbar, is a survivor on so many different levels. And I never, when God gave me the name We Are Survivors, it's just not about, I know my walk is a mess of violence, but we are all survivors of something in life, be it depression, be it a loss of a child, be it a loss of a job, be whatever God has laid in your path for you to survive, we are all survivors. And I never until recently really understood how powerful that name is, We Are Survivors. She is not only a domestic violence survivor, but she is a breast cancer survivor. And before I start talking too much and telling what I know about her, I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to let Ms. Scott Dunbar tell us about her story, how she survived domestic violence, how she actually came across her diagnosis of breast cancer survivor by a truly freak accident. And I also, I'm trying to keep this, but her success, she's a successful businesswoman, not once, but twice. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and allow Ms. Scott Dunbar to take over and for her to tell us about her testimony and what God has brought her through and where God is leading her. How are you today?
Hi, good afternoon, or evening rather. Thank you. I am doing great. I am doing great. How are you today?
I am, once again, I am sleepy. I'm trying to fight off this sleep. But, hey, the day is winding down. I'm really elated and excited to have you on the show. I've had the pleasure of meeting you and your sweet spirit. And I just want to hear more about you, what you're doing, what God has done for you, and what you're doing for others, because you're also a blessing to others because of what you do for a living. So like I said before, I'm going to be quiet and allow you to share.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Wanda has such a sweet spirit, and what I've noticed is from her topic, which is what she was just saying, many people don't really understand the definition of a survivor. So when her thing says we are survivors, she's so correct in saying it's a lot of things. And when you look up the definition of a survivor so you can see where I stand and where I come from and where she's going and where she's been, you really realize you too are a survivor. And the definition of a survivor is a person who continues to live after an accident, an illness, a war, etc. And when I look at my life, I look at what all I've survived, and that's why I was so drawn to her. As she stated, I've survived domestic violence. I was married at a young age. I had a fairy tale life where I had planned my whole life ahead of me before God did. And God had planned it, but I chose not to follow his direction. And in doing so and being disobedient and forcing God's hand, I picked out my husband, which led to my abuse, which led to my kidnapping, which led to being stalked, which also led to attempted murder. And going through that at a young age, I survived all of that. And then from there, I was already a single parent. And so I started into, you know, rushing my life, which ended up in that marriage. And then from there, I ended up becoming a breast cancer person because I got remarried. And then I forced God's hand and timing by not being patient on working things out. And then I ended up being divorced, and I went through breast cancer. So I survived that. I've gone through businesses to where I've started a real estate business. And that business I basically started, funded with another person. And I was pushed out of one location in another city inside of Texas because they couldn't force me out because I paid for it, so they pushed me out of Dallas. And I really believe that the stress is what caused my cancer. And you may wonder, how did I get cancer? Well, I went to a haunted house with a friend because we both were going through a divorce, and coming out of the haunted house, it was filled with bubbles, and we were laughing. You know, it was October, Halloween. And it was so much fun. We were laughing. And coming out of that haunted house, I bumped into a wall on a Sunday night. On Monday, I took a shower, prepared for my day as I always do, headed to work, and my arm was burning. I reached my hand inside my arm to caress it and see what the knot was, because I looked down thinking it was going to be a bruise. In doing so, my hand brushed across my breast, and I felt a lump above my breast. That was Monday. Sunday, I was at a haunted house. On Wednesday, I was told I had breast cancer, stage 3 aggressive, something they had to tack immediately. And here I am thinking, how did all this happen? I reflected back all my life. I've had to find myself fighting to survive. And I'm here today to tell anyone who's listening, anyone who may forward this on to someone else, anyone who's hopeless, that you too can survive any challenge you go through in life. The key factor is we all have to choose to live. And we have to take back what we've done and take back our spirit, take back our fight. Because when you're a survivor, that means someone's done something to you that you had to fight to come out of. Or you had to fight to come out of a situation yourself, and you got to take back your strength, your faith, because it's not lost. We just got to choose to live, choose to go forward, choose to go on. And so that's briefly my story, but there's so much deep down inside, because from that I've lost everything. And, you know, the Bible says we're going to take back what the locust ate and what the devil stole. Since this time, I had cancer, like I said, discovered in October. It was Good Friday 3 years ago this year that I ended up having my surgery. So I always say that in situations like this, it was on a scary situation that something tried to take me out. But it was a good situation, which is on Good Friday that I was reborn. I was able to live again because I know God rose. And when he rose, he saved me, just like he did in this situation. And so I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to share my story. I have since rebuilt my real estate business. I'm a real estate agent. I'm a home builder. I'm a female home builder, minority, which is powerful. I have a successful real estate company on my own, no partners. I have a mortgage company on my own, no partners, but I do have people that I network with, that I work with, but God has put me in place to help other people. I, too, have a nonprofit called Life Changing Community Development Corporation, where we help other nonprofits and we help other people be able to survive and have the things that they can't have on their own because they're less fortunate. And we give them back the American dream of hope. We help with housing. We help, you know, with needs. We help with different things that they may need, medication. And so I was born and raised in Arkansas, and so I came from an entrepreneur family. And coming from that family, my guidance was the males in my family, which was my great-grandfather. He had his own farm, 88 acres. I saw him work hard day and night.
Wow.
Day and night, my great-grandfather worked to put all of his kids through school and his grandkids through school, his great-grandkids through school before he passed. Then I saw my grandfather. He, too, was an entrepreneur. He has his own construction company. He hired his sons and also other males in the neighborhood to help learn how to concrete and how to do construction. He was an entrepreneur. I looked at my dad. My dad was a strong male. He also had, you know, multiple jobs to take care of his family so that we wouldn't go without. I had to take that same spirit that I learned as a child and say, you know what, I can do this. I had to find that driving force inside of me, and I realized that hard work does pay off. But no matter what happens, and people say, why'd you write this book? You know, what is it that you're trying to do? What is the inspiration behind your book? My book is called Slaying with Broken Pieces, and it talks about me surviving attempted murder, kidnapping, and I was still able to conquer all my shattered dreams. It's a story that would encourage and empower others to look at their own obstacles differently and choose to live. And so when they say, why'd you write it? What are you trying to accomplish? I'm trying to tell them I wrote this book to free myself. Mm-hmm. Again, I wrote the book to free myself because even though I had went through these things and I was abused, I was kidnapped. My first ex-husband tried to make me kill him, and he told me that if I couldn't, he couldn't have me, no one could, so he tried to make me kill him. At this time, he had never hit me. I left him, and then he came back and started stalking me, and that's when he kidnapped me and he beat me. He beat me unconsciously to where when I fell, I lost sight temporarily. I started having seizures and convulsions and bleeding. And it was to the point that I didn't know what to do but pray. But I knew that I could still take back my power. So writing this book finally freed me openly because I was freed spiritually, but I wasn't freed openly. And so this book is to help other people become liberated because we keep our story in so long that we can't save no one. because we're afraid to tell it. We're afraid to relive it. But you take your power back by telling it and by changing someone else's life who's holding on to something they need to walk away from. One of the topics in my book talks about the warning signs. We can't ignore the warning signs in domestic abuse. We have to pay attention. We have to acknowledge that they are there, and we have to call someone for help like your program here, because there's so much outreach out there, but we have to reach out to get the help.
Mm-hmm.
And then the purpose of my book is to showcase how I became from a victim to a victor. How you're going to go through troubles and tribulations, but you have the right to fight and become something different. No one can define who you are no matter what you've gone through. You determine your destiny, because in this life, you really hold the key to your success. You hold the key to your faith if you trust God. You hold the key to what you're going to do, and you hold the key to how you're going to handle situations. But you have to believe in yourself. And I just hope all you guys would just take time to believe in yourself again and to release whatever's inside of you so that you too can live and also help someone else live who may need the hope that you have for them.
Now, your husband, ex-husband, when did, because you said you, in your book you talk about warning signs. When did
mm-hmm.
you, how long were you all together before you start seeing warning signs, and what were the warning signs that you acknowledged? But for, you know,
well,
as a survivor, we see things but kind of make excuses for what we're seeing. So when was your warning signs, and what were they, and how did you react to them?
Honestly, the first warning sign when I look back is when I first met him. And I'm from a small town in Conway, Arkansas, and so I was raised very protected, very closed
mm-hmm.
in to where, and then very southern, to where people were really genuine men. They were really who they say they were, and that your family did protect you, your uncles did protect you. But when I got to Dallas, it was a totally different story. The first warning sign that I failed to realize, because I was just a small country girl, oblivious to what really was taking place, because I thought everyone meant good when they really meant evil. I was at a party where I met him with a friend, and every time some guys tried to talk to me, a group of guys would circle around me. And then they would say, "Hey, are you okay?" And his name in the book is Isaac. Isaac said, "Make sure you're okay, that no one's bothering you." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine. What's going on?" He's like, "We're just making sure." Then five or six guys would back away. If another guy came up to talk to me, I'd see all of a sudden another group of guys come back around me like I had my own protection and my own bodyguards. And later that came to show me that that was him being obsessed with me, possessive. No one could get to me but him. And so you may find that, you know, flattering. You may feel like you're somebody,
right,
but you're really setting yourself up for what's going to take place later. That was the first warning sign that I failed to realize. The second warning sign was when he started making accusations about me having an affair because of actions he was taking and things I was discovering that was showing him to be the one doing that. And so his tone changed. Then he started manipulating me and telling me I was running late coming home because I was stopped at a red light. I would miss being home. I was home 5 minutes late, and I worked at Department of Human Services, and so I was handling cases, and I may have a client that stayed over, so I leave my office, come home. Well, he tell me, "Oh, you're 5 minutes late today. You must be cheating on me." And I was like, "What, are you serious?" But it became escalated. Every week it was escalated. And he started realizing clothes were missing out of my closet because I went to look for a car. I dressed differently this day than I did the other days. So he felt that I left him. So he started calling people saying I left him. That was setting him up for what he was going to do, which was later call and report me missing. There's so many things that we see that we failed to address early on. And we stay in so many situations because we're seeking other people's approval versus our freedom
mm-hmm.
for our life.
Yes, and I wanted to touch on the first warning sign. And you're right. A lot of women are flattered when it appears that they're male. And I when I'm talking schools, and Stephanie's my witness, I don't just exclude heterosexual, it also happens in same-sex relationships. So we feel like we have, like he or she is really into me, or, you know, they really want me to themselves. And you're right. It is received and it's flattering, instead of it being a warning sign to say, hey, this is going to lead into something more down the line. This is starting off, and you got to think about it. You know, if you think about who can manipulate grown men to do that, to, hey, my woman's going to be there if somebody walks up to her or surround her. And what kind of power, if you just think about it even deeper, what kind of power did that man have over those other men, for those other men to be willing to do that? So, that's a wow. And you're right. Some women, and it doesn't matter the age, would think, or some men would think that's flattering. And it's not. I had one person on the show one day, and one of her warning signs was something really, for me, your warning sign was a wow. That would have been a wow moment for me. But her warning sign, I probably wouldn't have taken it as a warning sign, but she did. And the warning sign was, for her, they went out to eat. And this is their first time going out to eat. Well, when the wait staff asked her what she wanted to eat, he ordered for her. He didn't ask her what she wanted. He ordered for her. For her, that was a warning sign of being controlling. For somebody else, that would have been a sign of flattery because, oh, wow, he's ordering for me. How thoughtful. So it is those things that are so, at the time, it can be very sweet at the time. It could be like we may perceive it as being thoughtful, or, wow, they really care about me. Not knowing, when you have a manipulator, that's the first test to see if you're going to pass or fail.
Right.
They see, okay, well, if I do this and if they're okay with it, oh, okay, then I'm going to start doing this and I'm going to start doing that. But if you initially resist, that's going to throw up a red flag to them. Like, oh, okay, well, maybe this person's not going to be as easy as I thought. I might have to approach it in a different way. But what we don't realize is that manipulator, at that moment, that's our first test to see if we pass or fail it.
Right.
So that's an excellent point for the people that are listening. Is, you know, for someone you just met, how do they know what you like?
Right.
They don't. You know, they know. And so that's something for women and men to sit back and look at. If you're going out on a date and order, and you know, wait staff come up to you to order your food and they order for you. Now, if you've been together you've been in the relationship and have come to know each other and each other's likes, and he or she orders for you, then yes, that is flattering. Because they know what you like. Well, let me get that for you, honey. That's different. But for someone you just met and you know nothing about them, they know nothing about you, how can they order something that you like? So that's an awesome point. Now, you're a breast cancer survivor. Walk us through that process. And, you know, once you got the news and what, because you are a survivor, what God took you through that process. Now, was that was after you went through your domestic violence?
Yes, it was. And I found myself always having to start over and over and over. And the thing is, when you start over and over and you keep saying, I'm having to go through this trial, this tribulation, I'm having to go through this issue again, God, what is it? Why can't I just live a normal life? You have to realize he's taking you through something, which is why it's important to tell your story to people, because you don't know who you're going to save. So when I went through breast cancer, it was just literally in 2013. And like I was stating, I was ousted from a real estate company that I was 50% owner, that I put up all the capital to start and to fund monthly. And the stress had become so much. I was already in the process of going through a separation, trying to work on my marriage, which eventually led to a divorce. And all this happened, and I separated in March of 2013. I end up being put out of a real estate company in September, October of 2013. I got breast cancer in October of 2013. And then
wow.
I had to go straight into chemotherapy and radiation because it was aggressive, stage 3 aggressive. And from that time on, I looked up and I was like, but what do? I have no way of working because I'm self-employed, commission only. I don't have a husband to support me anymore because we were going through a separation leading to a divorce. My parents are in Arkansas. I had a son and a daughter. And I just found myself really leaning and dependent on God. And then the reason I went to one doctor and they didn't even give me all the documentation about my case. And I was getting ready to prepare to have surgery. And I called my pastor and I told him immediately because when I got the call, I was sitting at my kitchen table thinking, what's going on? And my doctor calls and he was like, Miss Dunbar, are you by yourself? I said, yes, Dr. C, I am, but I already know it must be bad because you wouldn't have led into the conversation this way. Go ahead and tell me. I can handle it. And I said, do I have cancer? And I said it just like this. He's like, yes, ma'am, you do. I'm so sorry to tell you. I said, what is it? He said, it's stage 3 aggressive cancer, and he named off all the stuff that I had. And I had behind me in my house, I was sitting at my kitchen nook table. Behind me was a wall of crosses. And I have a work phone and a private phone, so I text my pastor while I'm getting this news, and I told him what was going on. And he was in shock, and he told me to call him when I finished. But that wall of crosses, when I look back then and now, it carried me because it's like it held me up. Here I am going through a divorce, too. I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know, I got cancer. I just got put out of a company that I spent a lot of money to start. Then they put me out of the one here in Dallas because that's what they own, but they didn't own the one in San Antonio. So I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? And so the struggle became so real that I didn't know what to do. One day I was sitting at the table, and I had a daughter. You know, I'm separated. My lights were turned off. And my mom called, and that's God's time. And my mother called, and she says, you know what? You would probably be sitting there with the lights off and not tell me. I laughed and said, yes, Mother, you're probably right, but what's going on? I'm fine. And I never said anything else. And she could hear in my voice, just like God hears our voice and friends hear our voice when we're going through something. And she said, I'm going to call you back. And she told my dad what was going on and that something was wrong with her baby. She couldn't really tell what my father called. And he says, what's close to you? Western Union or MoneyGram? I never knew that they could tell in my voice that I needed something, but God knew. And he sent them just like that because I just prayed, God, what am I going to do? My daughter's at school. I'm sitting here with cancer. Don't know what to do. It's just a whole lot of stuff transpiring. And they sent me some money. Because when your father tells you to listen, you don't talk, you don't rebuke, you just pay attention
right.
and do what he says. And they sent me more than enough money, which is what we have from God, more than enough. So I got my lights back on, and I was able to that day stand firm, and I knew God carried me. This whole breast cancer journey, I couldn't work much. I had 2 clients in real estate that carried me for a whole year. And it set me up to where I could really focus, and then I could reflect back, and I could make it. It was hard. It was hard, but my obedience saved my life because I was told to call someone that was recommended by my pastor. I put it off because I was, one, not one to face reality, but out of obedience, I called, and it stopped me from having surgery that I wasn't even eligible for. I would have died, more than likely, if I would have went with the first prognosis that was given to me. And
wow.
So cancer is something else, but I'm here. I'm grateful. I have another chance to do something else great again.
So you lost one mortgage company. For a lot of people, that would have been the I'm throwing my hands up, I'm done, especially with them investing their hard-earned money and losing it. What was your drive and your motivation to say, okay, I'm not taking this lying down. I'm going to start back up my own mortgage company by myself. How did that process and that thought and that drive even come about after all that you were going through?
Because I knew the power lied within me. And the thing is, with the real estate company that I owned, a part owner of, I still was licensed. I just didn't have the authority to do what I was doing in the other part of the state. However, I realized that they wanted to break me, and I started reflecting on everything I've survived before. And I realized every time something came against me, it was to break me. But he, too, the co-broker, could not break me. And so it was all within me because I strongly believe your destiny lies within you. you have to want to change. You have to say, I'm going to take control and take back my life. And so I realized it wasn't over. It was just being rerouted, redirected. It's just like a flight. Mm-hmm. You may start here and have a layover, but you're going to still get to your destination if you stay on the plane. And so I stayed into the fight. I kept fighting. I rebuilt everything. And I knew that the reason everything was being successful was because God gave it to me. He had covering over me, and my faith in him was strong enough to get me to the next level. And I have rebuilt everything I had, but to a greater magnitude. And I mean, it's just so much power in me now because I strongly believe and I know where my source comes from. And because I knew inside of me I was going to work hard, I reflected back on my great-grandfather working in the field, providing for his family. I reflected on my grandfather. I reflected on my dad doing what it took to provide for his family. That I couldn't stop. I owed it to my son, who I didn't want to grow up on welfare. I owed it to my daughter, who I didn't want to have to ask men for money, to work hard. I owed it to myself. And I just had to find my why, and my why was for myself. And every person that believed in me and ever gave me a chance, I owed it to them to still get back up and fight and be successful.
I love it. So how long now has your company been, has it been around your second go-round? How long have you been formed and doing what you do?
I've never been unemployed. I've been self-employed for 12 years, since 2004. So this actually April makes, 13 years since I've been self-employed. I've never stopped real estate. I've never had to get a job. I have lost everything before when the market crashed in 2008. In 2019, I lost everything. I was at the pinnacle. But I never lost my faith. I never lost my drive. And I never lost believing in myself. And so I've always fall back.
Now, I know, this is my second home that I've owned. What is your favorite buyer-seller story that, you always have that moment they were like, okay, God, I'm doing the right thing. Is there one particular family or individual that kind of stuck out in all of the years that you've put people in homes? Because that is a huge thing for someone to buy a home. So is there a family or a story that sticks out to you that warms your heart when you think about it?
It is, and I tell people, because I'm asked this question often, but I tell them it's hard to say because everything has truly been heartwarming because everybody had a story with their home. But the one that I would never, ever forget that I can truly say keeps me humble, if nothing else, is a few years ago I sold a house to a lady who worked as a baker inside of Walmart's bakery. She made very little money, but I was able to find a program to help her become eligible. She ended up living in the same, she was living in the same house her grandmother lived in, her mother lived in, and she lived in, raising all of her kids, which was like 7-8 kids, in a 2-bedroom house, 1 living room, 1 bathroom, and a kitchen. It wasn't any more than, I promise you, 800-900 square feet, and they all lived. I was able to put that woman in a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house, and it was like $80,000-something, and she could not thank me enough because she said she never thought she'd see the day that she'd come out of a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, and that she would have something nice. There was holes in their floors. And just to know that that changed her life, it changed mine, because it shows you that no matter what you have, you're still a family in the situation you're in, but always help someone else have something greater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that will always stick to you, always.
Yes.
Because they just don't believe. They don't believe. They never thought that they could do it. I remember when I was in the mortgage industry, and I had one that never thought that he could even be a homeowner because he was always taught to do things with cash. And we got him approved for for a home. And, because he never used credit or anything. And we got him approved, and he was totally shocked. Totally shocked. That one would always stick in my heart.
Exactly.
Oh,
and when you do what you're doing, and for me, the reason I'm so compassionate because I started as a mortgage broker, because I realized the foundation of being successful in real estate is getting the loan approved. I work tirelessly, and I tell people, I never tell you no. I may tell you not now, because I really believe in delayed is not denied, is delayed is a denial, not a denial, but just being delayed. And so the thing is, I tell you, I can't do you now, but I tell you what to do. And I work hard on everybody, and I have a lot of good clients, A paper, and I have people who didn't even reach the charts. Credit score is nothing. But me and my team of people, we have been together this whole entire time, minus a year or two when the market crashed, and eventually I couldn't keep them. But we have been together, and we've helped so many people. People that are Spanish people that says, I never thought I could own a home because I'm the first in my family to do so. We've had, helped African-Americans who felt like they were being discriminated against because they didn't have the credit score. And the banks will tell them, oh, you're too low because they only had one option, whereas my company give you multiple options. We fight to get you in a home. We don't just say no and walk to the next person because it's easy. We make it easy for you. We make your home being a reality. Your dream turn into reality. I've helped multi-million people. I've done cash deals. I work with investors. I help them increase their bottom number. And people don't understand. I give back so much because of the fact I've been blessed so much. And the more I give back, the more people come to me for blessing me. And I bless them with reaching things they never thought they could have.
That is amazing. And like I said, I know the process that it takes for the buyer. I have no idea what goes on behind the scenes. Like I said, I've just had to go through it twice. And I pray that it's a third time, you know, to go through purchasing a home is almost like a completion, like a period, like an explanation point at the end of a sentence. I did this. It is a major accomplishment. And so you're changing lives just because you've in an industry where, yes, there are so many boundaries and limitations and red tape. People fear the thought of buying a home because of all that it goes into buying a home. But the fact that you are leading with your heart and not with your pen, not with a dollar, that's amazing because then, yes, people who thought they couldn't ever own a home have a chance. And that's commendable that you actually, like I said, run your company with your heart and not with a pen and a piece of paper. So for that, I thank you. Because, like I said, I understand the process. The first person I actually bought a home for, I was 24. And I remember I thought I had paid all my student loans off, but I had not. And when they popped up, of course, you know, if you have loans that you hadn't paid for, you can't purchase or buy anything. And the person that I was buying the home from, he paid my loans off. And to this day, I'm so thankful because that changed my life. I was able to purchase my first home at 24, where if it wouldn't have been for him. So I have that sentimental story of purchasing my first home. And it almost didn't happen for me. So I think people like you that and my seller that actually, like I said, go into this business with a heart and not a pen and a bottom line. It's people like you that change lives and make a huge impact on individuals that in other scenarios or other places are, you know, they've been, got the door closed or got a no or there's nothing we can do. But then they come to you and they're blown away because you make one of their dreams come true. For people that want to reach out to you and say, hey, maybe she can help me purchase my home or maybe she can help me do this, how can they find you, reach out to you, contact you? What is your contact information?
My number is 214-476-3091. Again, that's 214-476-3091. Or they can email me at Angelia at AngeliaDunbar.com. And Angelia is spelled A-N-G-E-L-I-A at A-N-G-E-L-I-A D as in David, U-N, B as in boy, A-R.com. You can connect with me on Facebook at Angelia Scott Dunbar. I'm on Instagram at Angelia Scott Dunbar. And I would love to stay in touch with people and make a difference in their life as well as them impacting mine.
Well, God has taken you through. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he has.
Situations.
And that's just a piece of it. That is, it's just, like they say, it's just a piece of the capsule.
Right. But we, as survivors, we all have learned that God takes us through some things and shows us that what I've blessed you with, what I've given you, even though we didn't realize when we were going through it, we were going to bless others because we have a survivor story. We can tell them and show people that, yes, I've gone through this, but because of the grace of God, because God was there for me, because God never left me, he is there for you. And because he pulled me through, he can also do the same for you. And I just truly believe that is the reason why, with my story of 24 consecutive years of abuse, I'm able to talk about it, be about it, live about it. I still have my moments. I tell people all the time. But I understand I had to go through what I went through to be able to help somebody else that may not be as strong, may not know Christ the way I do. And with you, it's the same thing. You've gone through domestic violence and breast cancer. And look at you. And you are a business owner, a successful business owner. And you are a minority, not once but twice, because you are a female and you are black. So you have really beat the odds. When somebody hears your story, they're like, wait a minute. She overcame what and what? And she does what?
Mm-hmm.
I can do that. I can step out, make that first step because she did it.
Right.
And like I said, when I met you and your story, it just, your stories, you have stories, you have testimonies. It's just not a testimony or a story. You have testimonies and stories. You survived things twice that everyone doesn't come out of.
Yes.
So I really thank you for sharing. Once again, I know you're writing, you're working on your book. Is it complete? No, it's actually, you're done, and
yes,
you're going to have a signing.
Yes.
So how can people, when can people look for the book? Where can they find it? Do you have any book signing events? Is any of that in the making?
The book signing is actually in the making. It'll be sometime at the end of March. I have two other events in March to do first. But they can pre-order the book at My Story, Our Journey. We have that trademark, and so it's My Story, Our Journey. And that's where they can go on and pre-order the book and also share their story with us so that we can follow them and help them, you know, either motivate them, encourage them. And then the name of the book, again, is Slaying with My Broken Pieces, Slaying with My Broken Pieces. And so I would love to keep them connected, and if they could, follow me so that they can stay connected with us. We got some great things coming up. We're getting ready to do a lot of filming. We have been presented with an opportunity that I can't fully discuss, but it does involve, you know, some commercials and TVs and stuff. So I would love to keep people connected.
Yes, and we will make sure that we all stay connected. Angelia, thank you so much for being our guest tonight, for sharing your story. You and I have discussed some things. We have a lot that we're going to be working together on. I'm excited about it. For everyone that's listening or that will be listening, feel free to contact me and or Stephanie with any questions, comments, or concerns. The direct number for the organization is 214-454-2933. Stephanie's is 817-320-2571. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundationaltogether@gmail.com. We always want to thank God for you listening and pray that today something on the show was said that touches your heart, that will motivate you, that will let you know you're not alone, to let you know that by God's will, by God's grace, that you can overcome whatever it may be that's going on in your life. Angelia is a great example of, hey, I was knocked down once, I was knocked down twice, I was even knocked down the third time, but I rose, I got up. I'm successful. I beat the odds. And if she can beat them, so can you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next week, you all be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.